Well, good evening, Grace Bible Church family. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. I pray that you've been having a great week so far, and looking forward to a great time in the Word of God as we continue to go through the book of Ephesians and our study. I was joking with Pastor Herm and Brother George how when we made up our plan here to get through the book of Ephesians, that we were already supposed to be done to this point, and now we're just now finishing up chapter 4. So obviously some things have changed over the last 3 months that's really kind of hindered the flow of our study. But hopefully it's been a blessing to you, as it has been a blessing to, I know, Pastor Herm and Brother George Rundle and myself, as we've continued to study through the book of Ephesians. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. And as you're doing so, I'll go ahead and begin in prayer as we continue to go through the Word of God. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I know it's difficult being in our homes, and we'd much rather be in your house, Lord, and fellowshipping with one another and encouraging one another. As we're going to talk a lot about tonight, the unity of the church and the encouragement and edification of the body of believers and how important that is. And we'll work into that probably even in the next week. Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon us during this time. I know there's been a lot of frustration and anxiety about being away from the house of God. But Lord, I pray that we will utilize this time to truly seek your face, not only in prayer, but also in studying your word, as we have a lot more time here in our homes. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll just bless us, Lord. I pray that you'll give us a peace that passes all understanding through this time, encouragement from your Holy Spirit, and that during this time, we would look at this as a time to be more intimate with you in our relationship. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless me as I teach tonight. I pray that it'd be a blessing, and we'd get a lot from your word. And we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a little bit of review from last week. We talked about the spiritual gifts that God has given man and the process of the gifts and for the purpose of service, with the result being spiritual maturity, which leads us to today, the direction. So we have the process of the gifts, and we have the purpose of service with the result of maturity. And so now we see what the direction is, and that direction is Jesus Christ. In our maturity, in our service, in our growth, in our gifts, Jesus Christ should be the direction of our lives spiritually. And do we see that these gifts that the Lord gave were for the purpose of sharing or spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, or service for the Lord, or edification, or building up of the body of Jesus Christ, but then ultimately for the result of unification in the body. And if I'm sure Brother George Rundle, as he goes to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll hit on this a little bit, but in Ephesians 5, verses 24 through 27, it says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And so we see the purpose of this mature church for the Lord. And so it brings us to our text here in verses 15 through 24. That will be our text tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, of course, starting in verse 15. It says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by which that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, I test and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, by alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lavishness, to the work of uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. So right away we see in verse 15, we're going to focus on speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. And so going back to the mentality of the Greek, it's holding on, maintaining or following the truth. And it's the mindset of being totally opposite or opposed to error or deceit. And when you really think about the concept between truth and deceit, that's ultimately what it is they're warring against each other. Truth wars against someone who's being deceptive or deceitful. And so they war against each other. And the mentality here is maintaining the act of truth in the spirit of love or in the manner of love. And I do want to take one little side note for us as believers to really think about this, that when it comes to the debates, discussions that we may have with those who maybe don't believe as we do, or maybe doctrinally they're a little bit off, we have to make sure that we still maintain the truth in the spirit of love. Because ultimately we have to be careful that we don't allow pride to creep in to our lives in this discussion, because then ultimately we could be speaking the truth, we could be right in our discussion, but wrong in our attitudes as we've now allowed ourselves to fall into the sin of pride. And then ultimately what that can happen is it can cause that person to put up this defense. And even though we might be speaking the truth, we might be speaking sound doctrine, we might be speaking correctly, they're not listening to us because they put the defense mechanism. You remember probably as a child when someone said something to you, they might even be right, and you kind of cover your ears and maybe you yell real loud so you can't hear them. And ultimately all you're doing is drowning out the truth. And so we have to be very careful that we, when we do maintain the truth, that we do it in a manner or the spirit of love. And so Paul now goes on to from the process to the result. Of course, the process is holding on or maintaining the truth. And remember, this comes right off the heels of verse 14. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or the craftiness or cunningness of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So this is coming right off the heels of us being sound in doctrine and not easily persuaded or deceived by those that are cunning or crafty trying to trick us away from sound doctrine. And it flows right into speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in the manner of love. And the result now is spiritual growth. It's going from being that spiritual child to the spiritual grown adult. And we see here in verse 15, into him, which is Christ, in all things. So we are to become closer with Christ. We are to be one with Christ. We are to have oneness in Christ in all things, in our lives. And Paul reminds here that Christ is the head of the body. And as if those that remember, we went back to Ephesians chapter 1. Actually, we'll go there. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. We can really see Paul paint the picture that the church, the New Testament church, is the body where Christ is the head. Verses 22 and 23, it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all the things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ, we are the body. And we have a specific important role in the body of Christ, but then ultimately Christ is the head. And so we've looked at the process, the result. Now we see the direction of our maturity. You know, our direction when it comes to our lives as believers is not independent. Our direction should be Christ. It should be directed directly towards Christ. And going back to our text here, look at verse 16. It says, from whom, of course, they're talking about Christ, the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, the picture here is the human body. And you know, we all are probably quite familiar with our bodies and how each part is to receive the nourishment equally. Could you imagine if we consumed food and we ate it and it was digested, and once it was digested, it went to our parts unequally. And so you have one hand that's maybe bigger than the other, or one arm that's shorter than the other. It would be very frustrating if when we consumed our food that it was the nourishment was not spread equally or evenly in the body. And that's the same thing in the importance here of spiritual growth and Jesus Christ being the direction of that growth, because it's to benefit the whole body as a whole. All the portions are supposed to be nourished equally. And we see here in the end of verse 16, it says, making measure of every part and making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what we see in the evidence of maturity is that it impacts or is evident to the body as a whole. You know, our growth in maturity should bring encouragement to others. It may bring encouragement to others directly, where in our growth in spiritual maturity, as we start to grow in the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord, maybe knowledge of the Word of God, maybe the Lord has been able to show us some things in our lives that could benefit others. And so directly, our maturity may benefit others in a direct way, where we're going to them and encouraging them in prayer, or maybe encouraging them in the Word of God. But then also it could be indirectly, where someone that's afar off may be watching our growth as believers, and as we grow, it brings them encouragement. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, because I would like us to see this. And this actually portion of Scripture, 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16, was my challenge when I was a youth pastor. It was my challenge to the youth. And it never changed. Every year that I was there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16 was our challenge as a youth, that others who watched their lives as young believers and saw their growth and their maturity would bring them encouragement in their lives. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Verse 15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly or completely to them, that they may that thy profiting, thy growth, thy maturity may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So that growth could encourage or help someone directly, but also indirectly, as they watch that maturity in that believer continue to grow, and it bring them encouragement. And so the evidence of maturity is this direction in our lives spiritually that not only is evident, but also edifying to the body of Christ. So now we look in the process of our direction, and it's towards Christ and maturity. And what it is, it's putting off, as we see here in Scripture, the old man and putting on the new man. And this is also familiar, I think, to the mindset of 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's an important verb, that "are." Old things are passed away. That old man is gone. And we are to put on that new man, to become a new person in Christ. Those newly made attributes are starting to develop in our lives. So in this immediate transition that occurs as we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, the first thing that occurs is justification, which is where we are declared righteous before God. We are, as we've repented of our sin and put Christ in our lives as Savior, we put on His righteousness. We are declared righteous before God as He put on our sin on the cross. And so then we are baptized to receive the Holy Spirit, something we saw in the beginning of this chapter. And then the new creation occurs, this new creature in Christ, and then we are to put on the new man. We are to put on the new man, which begins the process of sanctification, which is being set apart for the Lord. But it's a process. Sanctification is a process in where our new direction leads or points us to Christ. And you think about going on a destination. If I was going to live in where we are and we were going to drive all the way to California, well, the closer that we get to, well, I don't know if I want to go to California. We'll leave California on there. All right, so as I get closer to California or the West Coast, I'm getting further away from Chambersburg as I get closer to the West Coast. And that's the mentality of sanctification. The process occurs here at this one point, but as we continue through the process of sanctification, we get further away from that old man and we get closer to Christ in our direction in our lives. And I can say as a believer that there's nothing really more special to me than watching that transition occur from that person who was lost and their sin and they come to Christ as Savior, and then starting to watch the transformation. Obviously, there's that immediate transformation when they trust Christ as Savior, and they now have the Holy Spirit indwelling in their heart and lives, and it's illuminating the Word of God, and it's convicting them and challenging them and encouraging them in their lives. But then the continual process of sanctification and spiritual maturity as they go draw a further from this world and closer to Christ. You know, the transformation in their speech and in their attitude and in their faith. And then ultimately, their spiritual maturity starts to grow through discipleship and in hearing the Word of God. And so while this transformation or this conversion is immediate, you know, putting off that old man and putting on the new man is a continual process. You know, it's that sanctification, the process that we are to continue to strive for. You know, you think about things that are strived for. Usually there's something that there's a desire. And we trust Christ as Savior. You know, that sanctification process in life, our desires change. We now strive for things of God, and we no longer want those things of the world or the things that the old man would desire. And the reason why Paul continues to challenge these believers in this way is because it was an issue they dealt with in the early church as well. They still had a world that they dealt with. They still had a sin nature, a flesh, an enemy. You know, those around them that they continued to strive to get away from in order to stay in a right walk with God. You know, this new direction in our lives, you know, Paul continues to address this because, you know, we still have, you know, these believers, just as we do today, have an enemy that's attacking. They have a fleshly body or a sin nature that they have to deal with. They also have a society, a worldly society that they had to deal with. And here he talks about, you know, the lost Gentiles. Going back to our text, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, again talking about those lost Gentiles, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, Paul is warning these believers not to allow these lost Gentiles to influence them. And again, putting that, he's encouraging them not to put that old man back on, falling into a sinful lifestyle. And it's really important, even as believers today, that we're very careful about our relationships. We're very careful about having those close relationships with those that are lost, that don't know Christ as Savior. Because they can, you know, Satan can use those people in our lives to really influence us by putting the old man back on, or not developing that new man. And we see this teaching that Paul gave to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Because the church of Corinth, those believers were kind of struggling with that same issue in their church, allowing those lost sinners to really influence their walk in their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord with Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, I know a lot of times with that portion of Scripture, a lot of people refer that to don't marry someone who's not a believer. But I believe that portion of Scripture is much bigger than that. I think that's referring to our relationships as believers. We have to be very careful in not allowing those lost Gentiles, those lost people in our lives to pull us away from the Lord, to pull us into a place where we're putting on that old man and we're not developing the new man. Now remember, Paul here, going back to our text, is not referring to, you know, Gentiles like they're all lost. He just revealed the dispensation of grace and the mystery of the New Testament church, and that the New Testament church is made up of both Gentile and Jewish believers. Now, he's referring specifically to those atheist Gentiles, or those Gentiles who believed in false gods. He's saying, be careful about those relationships because they can cause you to put on or influence you to put on that old man. And so he's advising them not to live like those walking in the vanity of their minds. And that means, going back to the Greek, living opposed to the Lord. It's those that are allowing themselves to be deceived, that the satisfaction that they are receiving from their sin, they're thinking that that can satisfy, you know, that void in their heart that only can be filled by Jesus Christ. And so they're allowing themselves to be deceived in the walking in the vanity of their mind. Now we see here in verse 18, he's a little bit more specific. "In having the understanding darkened." That means that they're being darkened in their intelligence, or in their knowledge, being alienated from the things of God, or alienated from living for God, or also being blind in their heart, really referring to spiritual blindness. Because without Christ and the sealing of the Holy Spirit in man's heart, you know, man's understanding of the things of God are limited. You know, man has no perception of spiritual values without Christ, without the Holy Spirit leading in their lives. And so man may have a limited knowledge of the things of God, but you know, those things are not revealed to the lost man. They're revealed to that man who knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 16, we can kind of see this teaching here from Jesus. In John chapter 16, and starting in verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." He's talking about the Spirit there will reveal things to the believer that the world will not see, will not be able to understand. And so once that new believer trusts in Christ, they know what true love is. They know it's sacrificial love. They know what this relationship in Christ is all about. And then ultimately, the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks the word of truth to that new believer. But then also, it also illuminates the word of God to that believer. So that now that our understanding is now opened and enlightened. Paul reemphasizes his teaching here in Ephesians chapter 1. So I get there myself here. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Again, born-again believers have gained knowledge in these areas, areas that the lost are aliens to, areas that the lost have no knowledge or enlightenment. Now going to back to our text, verses 20 through 24 as we continue here. Verses 20 through 24. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so that be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth as in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul emphasizes the teaching of Jesus, but not just the teaching about Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of living for Christ or living life Christ. Here he contrasts the life of those lost Gentiles with how we're supposed to live as Christ. John chapter 10 and verses 1 through 4. It says, verily, verily, of course this is Jesus speaking, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, being in Christ, we are to put off that former or past conduct, that corrupt conduct, that deceitful conduct, that dishonest conduct. And we are to put off that former conduct, anything that's contrary to the Word of God. And then as we trust Christ as Savior, that old conduct is now replaced with an honest conduct, a faithful conduct, an upright conduct. We are putting on the new man according to the teachings and truth of Jesus. You know, that old man, the direction may have been a lot of different things. It may have been the lust for money or power or wealth or the things of this world. Where we put on that new man, now that direction is on Jesus Christ. And our conduct should respond accordingly. You know, the mindset here is, in Paul's teaching, is in the Greek, is the same mentality of taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes. And I tell you, there's nothing better, I don't believe, than taking those old clothes off and putting on the new clothes. Hopefully, you take a shower first. That makes the new clothes feel a little bit better if you're clean. But the mindset here is that we are to put off those old clothes, those old desires, those old wants, those old behaviors, and they are to be replaced with new ones. New desires, new wants, new behaviors that are godly, that are heavenly minded. And this past Sunday, I preached a sermon called "Taking Up Your Cross," and we were in Matthew chapter 16. That was our text, where Jesus is challenging his disciples to deny themselves, to take up their cross. And to follow Jesus' example, live like Christ. He was the example that they were to try to follow in their lives. And what he was trying to do was get them to change their mind from being temporally minded to eternally minded, to be heavenly minded. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we are to try to have the mind of Christ. We are to follow His example in our lives when it comes to our conversation, when it comes to our behavior, our wants and desires. We are to be like Christ. Verse 22, back in our text, says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You know, the Greek for that really addresses our behavior. The conversation, yes, conversation is part of our behavior or our lifestyle. If there's a lifestyle or behavior change because we're putting on the new man, then yes, that should ultimately influence our conversation. But what he's talking about here is a bigger picture than our conversation. It's our behavior. It's our lifestyle. And that this new life in Christ, we are to put off our old behavior, our old conversation, our old lifestyle, which was corrupt and deceitful, and we are to replace it with one that is righteous and holy. Verse 23, we see this picture. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, we are to live with a renewed spirit, a renewed mind. You know, that really reflects our new nature that we now have in Christ, this new spiritual nature that we have. You know, Paul wants these believers in Ephesus to leave behind their old life of sin, to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. But by Paul urging this transformation, he shows the Christian life as a process. Again, first we have to choose Christ. We have to choose to repent of our sins and by faith trust Christ as Lord and Savior. Then we have to choose separation. We have to choose that we are not going to allow those lost Gentiles, those lost relationships to influence us to staying in a life of sin or keeping on that old man. That we are going to now choose sanctification, the process of putting that new man on and continuing the life of Christian growth and maturity. A life that is separated from this world and a life that is set apart for God. And so in choosing God, choosing Christ, choosing faithfulness, choosing obedience in the Word, in doing all these things, what we see is a steady develop in our sanctification. As we continue to strive for Christ and strive for faithfulness and obedience to the Word of God, ultimately what is developed is sanctification. It's that being set apart from that old man and developing the new man. You know, in righteousness here in the Greek, it's talking about rightness, being right with God, being right with His Word, but then also being right with fellow man. And then true holiness, going back to the Greek, refers to separation and graciousness. Now, we are to live in righteousness and holiness. Those things that were imputed unto us when we trusted Christ and Savior. And imputed means to put to one's account. And so as Jesus put our sin to His account on the cross, when we trust Him as Savior, we put His righteousness and holiness to our account. And so it's just like that seed, you know, when you plant in a garden, you plant that seed, you know, for it to grow into a vibrant garden, it must be nurtured. You have to make sure that the pests are removed and the weeds are removed and it's watered and it has proper sunlight. All these things are necessary for the nurturing of this garden to be a vibrant garden. Well, the same thing applies when it comes to our lives spiritually. Those things must be nurtured in our lives in order for us to grow spiritually. You know, that planted seed is putting on the new man. Verse 24, and ye that put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, the nurturing that occurs if we continue in that new man is developing our sanctification, being set apart for God. And ultimately, that should be our desire as believers, is being set apart from the things of this world for God's use, for God's service. Now, putting on the new man in verse 24 is different than the mentality of being renewed that we see in verse 23. And that it's not a a renovated nature. It's a completely new nature, altogether different nature than our previous nature. It's a nature that is created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him, male and female created he, them. We were created in the image of God. And so this new nature should strive for godliness. It should strive for righteousness. It should strive for holiness. Now, righteousness here in verse 24 refers to in our relationships with fellow man. That we are to be in a right way with God, but also in a right way with man. But that holiness refers to our relationship with God. That we are to be set apart for God in his use. And so next week, we're going to look at our growth spiritually and spiritual maturity and its effect that it is to have on the body of Christ. So let's close in prayer as I finish up. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon those that have just been home and dealing with this pandemic. Lord, I pray that you'll allow your word to bring us encouragement. I pray that during the time that we're stuck in our homes, we would realize the importance of the process of sanctification, the process of growing in spiritual maturity and being set apart from the things of this world and putting off that old man and putting on the new man and allowing your word and your spirit to really develop us into something that you can use for your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon us as we continue to spend time in our homes. Help us to utilize this time to develop that new man, to develop that spiritual maturity that ultimately can be used for the encouragement and edification of the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for everything that you do in our lives, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for watching our time here for our Wednesday night Bible study. Be looking for Sunday morning. Pastor Dave will be bringing a sermon for our Sunday morning sermon. I pray that that'll be a blessing to you, and I pray that you're all doing well. God bless. We're praying for you.